I will share something from my heart. It's something that is burning in me. And as I'm speaking right now, it was burning when I was writing this word. And it's burning in me as I'm speaking right now. And I know Lord will be doing something in the atmosphere. He will be doing something with your hearts. He will be pulling you somewhere to the realms of His glory that you've never been before. Who is hungry for Him? Who is hungry to get to know Him? Who is hungry to eat His word today? Who is hungry for the word? Yeah, few people ready. Okay, awesome. Then I will speak to those who are hungry, to those few, to the holy remnant. So, and it's, as always, it's a huge honor and honor to speak to you and to share the word of the Lord. But at the same time, it is a huge responsibility. Because for every word, we will have to report to the Lord. We have to answer for every word that we release. So when we stand there, we really speak in the fear of the Lord. And I ask Holy Spirit to remove anything that is not of Him, that it could be from the flesh or from the soul. So I'm just praying whatever you hear today, it will be from the Spirit. And I'm totally under His guidance, and I'm asking Him to flow through me tonight, because I know He's taking us somewhere new. There's new level that is coming to church. There's new level that is coming into your personal life, and we all feel it. We already started experiencing it. Okay. Today I will be speaking about the word that is called today. It is called removing the veil, revealing the Messiah. We will talk about two kinds of prayers, or actually I will focus more on one of the prayer that Jesus is taking us in this season. It's called beholding His face, gazing upon Him. Because what we are used to, we're used to prayer. We hear it everywhere. We need to pray, we need to pray, we need to spend time with Jesus. We need to pray about this, we need to pray about that. And we come to the throne with our requests, and sometimes we need healing, when we need help, when we need supernatural intervention, and we come to the throne with all these things. But a lot of time, the bride forgets what she was created for. The bride of Christ forgets that she was created to behold His face, to gaze upon Him. So this is why a lot of times people feel bored. This is why the prayer is just boring to them, and they cannot commit to even 15 minutes a day, because they did not learn the secret of the prayer, how to gaze on Him, how to behold His face. You know, when I learned the secret, when I learned that key and I started applying to my life, my prayer life has changed. It's elevated to the next level. A lot of times you just go into your secret room and you just fall out of time completely. And I've heard like testimonies from people who come to our Ruah prayer, and we all together, we just like connect, and in unity, we go to the throne. People who never prayed before in their lives, or they just felt bored before, when they taste what it's like to gaze upon Jesus, to behold His face, they just fall out of the time. They just fall out of this reality. They close their eyes and they think they only prayed for like 7-10 minutes. They look at the time and it's like 1 hour just went away, just like it, like 5 minutes. So I want to speak to you about gazing up on Jesus today. And I know what I will be speaking, I will just lay a foundation. When you go home and when you go living on your lives, Holy Spirit will take you a lot further. He will reveal you a lot more. He will take you so much deeper. But today, I just want to sow the seed inside of you that when you go home, it will be pulling you into that encounter, into that face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Because you cannot behold His face. You cannot gaze upon Him without face-to-face encounter. You have to have face-to-face encounter with him to be able to behold your face without faces being covered with veil. We will read about that today. We will address certain veils that hinder you from looking at him, from seeing him, from beholding your face, his face. And I know Holy Spirit will deal with those veils today. But first, I just want to speak to those who, if you feel like your prayers became dry and you feel this pull of God in your heart, you know you are called for something higher than what you have. There's burning inside of you, and you do your best and you pray and you see God, and maybe you got stuck in, like, got stuck somewhere. So I just gonna take you today, so we will deal with those veils. We will deal with those hindrances today. Because Jesus, when he was introducing prayer to disciples and introducing prayer to people around him, the prayer was never meant to be dry. The prayer was never meant to be like a monologue, or just requests or petition or anything, even though all prayers are needed, like intercession, petition, you know, like for the miracle, other things. But first of all, your prayer is where you stand and you look in his face. Jesus said, there is a river inside of you. Do you know the scripture? He said, he was speaking about Holy Spirit, that there is a river without inside of you that is flowing from like within your inner spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And this river never stops flowing. That river never dries out. That river is always new. It means whatever God placed in you, that's his living spirit inside of you, it never dries out. It never stops speaking. It never stops creating something new in you. So when we feel like we're stuck somewhere, then maybe we're not doing something, or we're not doing something right, or we're missing something, okay? So we will address, because fiery prayer is the prayer that open heaven encounter. And we will talk about heaven encounters today as well. But also first, I want to address two categories of people. And I just want to speak about something that enemies stole from the church. And this is why church, it's walking, but it's like a crippled church. It just walks on one foot. So there's two types of prayer. There's your personal, every day when you go in your secret room, in your secret closet, and you just spend time with Jesus. And there is a corporate, when we are called to get together and pray to worship together. There's one category of people who don't have their relationship, like their intimate, you know, time with Jesus, who don't spend time with God. They only come to church when, you know, when we just on Sunday services or prayer services. And this is the only source of their prayer life. And even though they do come to church, but there is no change in their lives. They're not growing in God. They're not progressing. Their characters are not changing, because you cannot progress and grow on the corporate prayers. So there's something I just want to address. But then there is another category of people who does not recognize any churches, like, you know, there's no good churches, no church is good enough for me, so I don't need any church, I don't need any, you know, gathering. I will just seek the Lord in my room, and this is enough for me. I have my own relationship, and this is enough for me. So there's the two categories, okay? So, and I will tell you what the danger, what are you missing out when you ignoring one or the other, okay? Because both components are very important. So when you have intimate prayer, intimate relationship at home with Jesus, this is where your character changes. This is where you get transformed. This is where you get matured one-on-one with him. When he comes in the private time and he addresses maybe certain issues of your heart, or with his love, he comes and heals you, or he starts revealing something, that something is done. It's so intimate and it's so private. It's done on one-on-one. But when we come together, we become in this ecclesia. Do you remember we were speaking about ecclesia before, what it is? Remember, there is a scripture in Hebrews when Paul says that after after we came to Jesus, after we came to the Zion, we became part of his church. We became members of his church, members of his ecclesia. Ecclesia, it's a group of people called by God who put in their regions, in their locations or where they live to influence the atmosphere where they live, to dominate in the atmosphere, to proclaim the authority of Jesus. This is like when believers come together and they start praying corporate prayer. They're pushing out the darkness from where they live and affecting their regions where they live. So it's so important you cultivate your personal time. This is where you grow and you change and transform. And corporate, when you start affecting what's you know, what's around you. Because really, when you start spending time with Jesus, when you go deep into relationship with him, you cannot avoid your calling. You cannot avoid the purpose that he has for you. Like, if you're really seeking him and seeking his will, soon you will start feeling his call on your life, that he's releasing you somewhere. You have to be part of, you have to be part of the church, of gathering. Or maybe you don't have like the actual registered church and where you live. Become, find the group of the fiery ones. Find the group or prayer group or cell group or whatever, because Jesus said, if only two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. You don't need a big church. All you need a group of those who love on Jesus, who are on fire on Jesus, and you are part of ecclesia. It's the government, God's government, that is established in the area where you live. So I want to address, I just wanted to address those parts. Do not ignore. And this is what devil did. Like he just took out one part or the other. And really, in church cannot get far. Okay. I want to go to the heavenly encounters, because we will be focusing on that, on one-on-one encounter with Jesus today. I do... it's not just I feel, and it's not I just strongly believe, it's more than that, that this is the time a lot of you, God is preparing for face-to-face encounters. He is elevating your prayer life. He is elevating your intimacy with him. And I know some of you have been feeling this burning inside of you, and it just does not leave you. It just does not let go. I will explain what that burning is, because God wants to take you from that burning to another, to more deeper place, and we'll talk about it. But first, we will read Revelation. You all know that scripture very well. We've been quoting this a lot, but today I want to touch up on certain moments. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1-2. And John says, "Then I looked, and I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before, spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.' And instantly, you guys, it really happens when you get into the right place. It does not take that long. You instantly taken in the heavenly realm. I was in a spirit and I saw a throne in heaven. So first of all, I want to say this is the place where we are called. And we spoke about that before. I just want to get that nailed down again. This is the place we are called to live from. The throne room and the heavenly realm. This is our spiritual inheritance and promise through the sacrifice and blood of Jesus. Okay, so right now, like, it doesn't matter if you had a good day or bad day. It doesn't matter what you've done. Your spirit is there. Of course, if you have relationship with Jesus and if you're washed by his blood, of course, your spirit is there. You might have like the most miserable day and you don't feel like you want to pray or read the word. Your spirit is there. You just need to connect to that knowledge and to operate from that place. Because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, it says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. But it's so sad that a lot of Christians, they don't live from that place. Do you know there is a seat next to Jesus' throne? There is a seat. It has your name and it has a receipt on it. It's stamped to your seat. It says it's paid with the blood of Jesus. Your seat has been reserved for you. It's been paid. But do you know how many seats in that throne room are empty right now? Because his children refusing to answer his call. Because they're not answering the call, not answering that pull. They refuse to go further. They refuse to let go of certain things that they attach to. And the seat is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you to take rightfully that seat and to operate, to live from that reality. Hey. Because devil knows very well, and he will do everything to surround you with all kind of distractions. He will do anything because he knows that's the place where you get the most dangerous. That's the place where you're unreachable. That's the place that any weapon that is formed against you, it's not successful. It will not work. Because he will do anything to make sure your heavenly seat is empty. So you leave this mere earthly mindset bound to this earth, so you do not progress anywhere. To keep you, you know, just in your bitterness or in your unforgiveness or in your rejections or the issues that you might have with someone. Because once you step over, and we'll talk about it, how to step over that, how to break all of that. Because also devil knows that's the place, the heavenly realm, the throne room. This is where your thoughts and emotions are obedient to Christ. You're not driven by bitterness, or you're not driven by the desires of this world or by desires of your flesh. You're not driven by that. You are not, he's not able to control you anymore. Okay? So coming back to that verse, when John saw the door open and he heard the voice, there is a key phrase. I used to miss it all the time. I kind of read the verse, yes, and I heard the voice and the door was open, come up here. But then there's a little phrase that Holy Spirit, no, you need to pay attention, because that's the key phrase why John was able to have that heavenly encounter. And this is the key phrase. We'll read that verse again. Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet. So this is the voice he recognized. John was able to have that encounter because he already heard that voice before he had heavenly encounter. It means he was cultivating that relationship with Jesus. He was spending time with him. You cannot know somebody's voice without spending time with that person. Because a lot of times, even I hear this question from Christians, but how do you hear God's voice? How do you know if it's him speaking? And it's something you cannot explain. It's like, here I am standing, I'm gonna try to explain to you how my husband sounds like. Yeah, he has deep voice. He has low, deep voice. I was like, okay, but when you will hear him, you need to speak to him directly. You need to hear him physically. So when in the crowd of 100 people, you will recognize that voice. Because a lot of times we try to hear God. We're asking for his will for our lives or for the next step without cultivating that relationship where we get to know his voice. So this is why, do you know, a lot of people, and it's so sad, they're having second heaven demonic encounters. Second heaven. This is where the demons and operate. They think they have third heaven throne room encounters. But in reality, they've been deceived by the evil spirits who present themselves as angels of light or as even Jesus. Because they don't know the voice of their Messiah. They don't know, they did not cultivate that relationship. Okay, so this is the key word. The same voice I had heard before. But then you might say, of course, maybe it's easy for John to know Lord's voice because he spent 3 years with him. He saw him physically. He he's spent so much time like talking to him and spending time to him. Like it's so much harder for us. But I will give you proof in the scripture that even people who knew him physically, who spent time with him, they did not recognize him. Okay, so when Jesus was ascended to heaven and John had continued to cultivate that relationship, when on earth, John got to know the human nature of Jesus. But when Jesus was ascended to heaven and took his throne right next to God, John had to get to know him as God, as a godly nature, because John was not familiar with that side of Jesus. And he had to take time and cultivate so he could recognize that voice. Okay, so I'll just want to read like next scripture when it's proved like to you, the people who knew Jesus physically, they did not recognize him. And that's in Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 24, 13 through 21. I know you guys all read the scripture, but I just want to break something down. There's a big revelation. How do you get your eyes open? How do you start seeing Jesus? There's a secret, okay? And I will read. Oh, we will read a lot of word today. We will eat the word today. Okay. So this happened after Jesus died and resurrected, and the news about resurrection spread it in the village, in the town. So Luke 24, starting 13. The same day, two of Jesus' followers, okay? It's his followers. It's not his disciples, but those are also follow Jesus, one of his followers. They were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. So they were in despair. They were sad. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened these last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth." People say that he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This has all happened 3 days ago. So you see, this Cleopas and his friend, even though they follow Jesus, they've heard all these revelations. They've heard everything that Jesus was saying. They could see his deeds, everything that Jesus is doing. But still, they did not see him as a Messiah. They only saw him as a prophet, as the man. And they were all like in despair because they had political hopes in him. So they created their own image of Jesus. They thought he was political Messiah who will overthrow the Rome and deliver Israel from the Roman occupation and Roman Empire. And when it didn't happen, what they expected didn't happen, they were in despair. They were lost. They still did not recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. Even though Jesus, he was talking about this all the time before he went to the cross. He's been talking, "So I'm about to go, that and I'm about to die, and I will resurrect, and I'm the Son of God." He was speaking a lot about that, but they still only saw him as a prophet and just a teacher. But you remember when Jesus asked Peter, who do you think I am? First, he asked, like, who do people say I am? And Peter replied the same answer. Yeah, they think you're a great teacher, you're a prophet, you're this and that. And then Jesus said, but who do you think I am? He said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And then Jesus said, it's not the flesh and blood who revealed it to you, but the Spirit of God. And he's like, on this revelation, he goes on, and on this revelation, I will build my church. So at that time, even though before Jesus went to the cross and before he resurrected, Peter already got revelation. He already was able to see Messiah, Jesus, for who he is, Messiah. But these two followers, they still didn't get it. And then it talks in the story how Jesus starts reading them the prophecy, the word of the prophets, and explaining to them. And he had to, because these two followers, they still didn't get it. You see, because this is what happened to us. Without having a real revelation, without not knowing how to look in his face, we don't get a revelation of who he is. And we don't get a revelation of who he is. We get only twisted knowledge of him. Just like these two disciples, they have twisted knowledge, twisted understanding about who Messiah was, who Jesus actually was. Okay, so Jesus had to come down, disguise himself, and to explain what the prophecy said about him. And then we will skip the conversation, but we'll get to this verse 28. So by the time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he was going on. So he pretended he was about to leave them. He wanted to see, what are they going to do? Are they going to recognize me? Are they going to feel something? Are they going to ask me to stay? So he pretended like he was going away. Okay. So, but these followers, they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. And this is the secret. How do you get your eyes open? How do you behold his face? How you start seeing for who he is? As they sit down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scripture to us? So before your eyes get open, before you get to that place, first you feel this burning inside of your heart. If you feel like something burns inside of you, something is pulling you into deeper relationships, something just keep nagging inside of you, spend time with the Lord. Put aside this. Go spend time with the Lord. Spend time in the Word. Maybe turn off your favorite music. Turn on the Bible on your like walk or in the gym. Just something to, you know, to get to do like more Jesus. This is the place where he's about to reveal himself. This is the place where he's about to take you to this heavenly encounter where you start getting a pure revelation of who Jesus is. But too often we get too busy to respond to this call. We get too distracted and we rob ourselves from heavenly encounters with Jesus, from face-to-face encounters with Jesus. Okay? Because even in Revelation 3:20, before John had heavenly encounter, before Revelation 4:1, when the door was open, there was Revelation 3:20 where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him and he will eat with me. Okay, so this is what happened. This is where the eyes of these two followers got open and they saw and they got a true revelation of Jesus when they sat down at the table and they were breaking the bread. They were eating Jesus. Okay, you cannot know Jesus without eating Jesus, without eating this bread, without like getting to this table of fellowship with him every day. And that's something you cannot do with a crowd. There's only this place reserved for one. To this place, you come alone. Jesus did not come to the church. He did not say, I'm standing and knocking at the door of the church, like of the church or gathering. No, he was standing at the door of the heart of one person. So there's the only place where you can have face-to-face encounter, a true relation of him on one-on-one time in this intimate one-on-one place. This is where your eyes are being opened. This is where you start seeing him for who he is. This is where you start recognizing his voice. Okay. Oh, I'm so passionate about this message. My throat gets dry all the time. Okay. I want to take you to the next scripture. This is what happens when you get into the presence of Jesus. Why it is so important to this is why, like, if you notice that those who've been coming to the Friday prayers or, you know, here, like, during the worship time, this is why you keep hearing from the stage, behold Jesus, we behold your face. It's all about beholding. And people keep asking us questions like, why are you guys singing about that all the time? Aren't you tired about singing, you know, the same thing over and over? Can you sing other, like, songs? Why are you beholding Jesus? Because they do not understand the secret of beholding his face. What starts happening to you when you actually start seeing him? Because when you start seeing him, when you get the taste of seeing his face, you guys, your life changes. You lose all the cravings for this world. Everything outside of him becomes tasteless, becomes bland, becomes colorless. And once you taste at least, like, if one time you get into this presence, into this encounter, when he reveals himself, his face, you will be craving that. Believe me, you will not want anything else. Okay. So 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty from the bondage. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in the mirror of glory of the Lord, we are constantly being transformed into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord. Okay, so this is what happened, but it's very important. We have to come with unveiled faces, because it's so important, because Holy Spirit, he starts removing those veils that hinder you from his presence. When you just get into his presence, Jesus starts dealing with the issues of your heart. He starts healing your pain, the pain that you were not able to overcome. Okay, or maybe some wounds from your past, or maybe a rejection that somebody was putting on you. This is where this all gets healed. This is where Jesus starts removing all of these hindrances. We just need to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming to see his face. And you guys, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier when you get, like, where do I start from? How do I, the beginners, you know, pack. All you do, just your spirit is very sensitive. When you get into his presence, I don't know what works best for you, because we are all different. Some people like soaking, some like praise, some like intercession drums, some people like worship. We all are so different, and we have our little unique doors and keys where we start feeling his presence strong. Sometimes when you start praying, yes, all distractions, they will try to get into your mind, to get your focus off, to make the prayer boring to you. And you keep looking, okay, oh, it's only 10 minutes. It feels like it's already been 30. And you keep looking. You just need to pray through that. This is where a lot of people give up. And they're like, you know what? I don't feel it today. I'm gonna try tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. You get too busy. I'll try in 1 week and it never comes. And your fire is going down. You're actually stepping away from the fire further and further. You start feeling less heat. Conviction goes away. What was not acceptable before becomes acceptable now. Your boundaries are, like, washed away. That's why a lot of some people say, like, you know what, I can drink alcohol and I still can talk to Jesus. He hears me. Or I can smoke a cigarette and I still have a good relationship with Jesus. I just tell them, you just never came that close to him where these things, like, can still in the presence. If you get closer to his fire, believe me, these things will fall off. Holy Spirit inside of you will start convicting you. Okay. So, and your eyes are start being open in his presence. Look, this is the only place. coming back to this thought. So you just need to break through, like you through all these distractions. You just keep pray and pray. Be persistent. Do not leave just because you don't feel presence right away. Because you're, like we said, your spirit is already there. Your spirit experiencing the glory, but your brain does not understand that. Your soul does not understand yet because it was feeding off other things outside of God. So, and your soul could be experiencing emotions of, like, from the movie or like romantic movie that you watched or whatever, you know, or from like, or maybe you, you know, spend time somewhere. So it's still feeding off all those nice emotions. But the deeper you go into God, the deeper you just persisting and you're going after the spirit, praying tongues or whatever works for you, your soul, your emotions, they start synchronize. They will start experiencing what your spirit experiences in the heavenly realm. And you will feel in the shift. And for every person, it's a different time. For somebody, it's longer. For some people, it's faster. It just depends on your progress and your experience with God, okay? And you will feel the shift in the prayer when your thoughts, you don't feel distractions anymore. And you get caught up in the praise or you caught up in the worship. And you are all engaged, all your like soul and like spirit, soul and body, all engaged in the worship. And that's where you lose the track of time. This is what the throne room worship is like. When you lose track of time and you forget where you are. And you know what? And then when you cultivate it too often, it just follows you everywhere. It's like you are not seeking the throne room following you. It happened to me so many times at my work. I'm trying to work and I just start feeling like strong presence of God coming over me. I cannot speak. I cannot talk. I'm typing. I cannot see what I'm typing. I was like, Lord, I'm trying to work. And then like, no, I need to go to the bathroom and I need to go get the bathroom break, you know, and you go lock yourself up in the bathroom for 15 minutes because you just like the spirit of the Lord is so strong and you cannot say no to him. You know, you just put everything aside and you just go and you just love on him and you just give everything out on him. And then you come back and then coworkers looking at you, what you've been doing in the bathroom for 15 minutes, you know, and you cannot explain. You're like, your eyes are, you know, you've been bawling your eyes because of this love, because of this presence, because of this connection, because he just came and visited you. It's like your relationship changes, not from you chasing him. But he comes and he just surprises you in a very spontaneous places. You guys, it is so beautiful to be connected anywhere, in the store, at home, in your car, at your work, groceries, like whatever you do. Sometimes I do my grocery shopping and I forget, I start praying in tongues and I don't notice how I start praying in tongues because again, the spirit, it just comes so strongly. And people around me, they're like, what's wrong with her, you know? They're just clearing all the space around me. It's just beautiful. And I love it. I love it to be taken out by the Spirit. I'm just like, Lord, more. Do it more. I just want to be crazy in other people's lives. I just want to be so crazy. They will look at me and they will not understand. But you just feel this fire. But this is the place where, you know, rejection doesn't get you. You people try to hurt you and it doesn't work on you. People try to betray you or people try to criticize you or people try to be rude. It just jumps. It's like you're just like covered in this oil. It just slides over. It never sticks to you because you're covered in his oil. You're covered in his love. And Jesus wants to do this for you. And we will pray. I know he will do it for you. He will take you to the next level with him. This is the place where you lose your identity. I don't identify myself outside of him anymore. He becomes my identity. And I don't care what people say, who I am or what I look like or what I sound like. I know my identity in him and this is enough for me, okay? So it's very important to stand with Jesus with unveiled face, to be able to gaze him. And before we get to those veils that we want to address today, do you remember? I will not read it today, but I'll just remind you, Ezekiel chapter 47. It's like one of my favorite books and chapters. Ezekiel 47, where angel, he was measuring the levels of the water. He measured 1,000 cubits and water rose up to ankles. He measured another 1,000 cubits and it came to the knees and then waist. And then until it covered with the head, until the river was so wide and vast, he could not see, you know, beginning or the end. The problem is a lot of us, we choose to stay in the river up until waist, to have control of our lives. This is why we keep going back to our old compromises or sins or weaknesses or addictions, whatever that is. Whatever that is, because we refuse, we do not answer call to go deeper in Him until you step into the water so deep it covers you and you don't feel the bottom anymore. You don't have control of anymore. You cannot get out of that river anymore. We all like on different levels in that river. I don't know if you're just like dipping your toes to see the goodness of God, or you're just learning, you know, just starting your walk with God and you're just learning to stay strong. But He wants to take you into the river so deep that you don't have control anymore. He wants, because that's the river that flows from the throne of God. That's the Holy Spirit. He is the living water. He wants to take you and He wants to carry you with God's frequency, with God current. Okay, so you don't have direction, your own direction anymore, but He directs your life. And this is where you just cannot live outside of Him. You're just like fish that is taken on a shore and you start suffocating without His presence. Because once you taste it, you cannot live with that presence. It's like suicidal. You start feeling suicidal. If I start living outside of His presence, again, we all have bad days. We all have good days. We all have all kind of. But where do you run by the end of the day? Whatever day you have, where do you run? Where do you find your comfort in? Where do you get refreshed? Okay. So I will address... Oh, we're going good. I promise I'm not going to hold you for too long. Okay, but I want to address four veils. Four veils. As we read before, when we get into the presence of God, Jesus, He removes those veils. He removes those hindrances so we can gaze at Him with open faces without any hindrance. But there are, I found four. When I was writing this topic, there's four that were highlighted to me. Maybe there is more, and maybe Holy Spirit will reveal your veil. There's some of them that we have to take care of. There are some of them that He will not do for you. It depends on us. How, like your hunger, how deep do you want to go in Him? If you are willing to undress these veils in your life. Okay? Oh my gosh, I'm getting thirsty here. Okay. Veil number one. What could hinder you from Him? It's unconfessed sin, okay, or compromise. So Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we go on deliberately and willingly sinning, creating sin, okay, willingly sinning, with my accent and all those words, they sound almost alike. So I just want to clarify, okay, when you go and sin." After once acquiring the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone for our sins. No further offering to which to look forward. I know there's such teaching. It's called the greasy grace. And it says, no matter what you do in life, no matter what life you live, you are covered by the blood of Jesus and automatically forgives you and cleanses you from every sin. So this is the verse that clearly says, if you willingly and deliberately, after knowing the truth, once acquiring the knowledge of the truth, and you go and do this on purpose, there is no sacrifice on your sin. The veil is not being removed. You cannot enter the Holy of Holies. You cannot enter heavenly places where you can see Jesus when He will be revealing to you. Okay? Blood of Jesus will not remove this veil. And you will live life separated from His glory. Okay? So, and if you ask for forgiveness today, but you already made plans for tomorrow to go to the places where you're not supposed to be, or hang out with the people you're not supposed to hang out. And today you ask for forgiveness for the same thing, and you know tomorrow you're going to go and do this again. There is no sacrifice on the sin. Okay? So this is very clear. Please, if you have unconfessed sin, if you have a compromise, address it today, ask for forgiveness, and don't go back to it. Okay? Or if you like this life, if you want this to be ceiling, like this is your ceiling, then, you know, this is your choice. Only you choose how far do you want to go in Him, on which level of knowledge you want to stay. Okay? Veil number two. It's grieving Holy Spirit. It's pretty close, but it's different than intentional sin. Grieving Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 31, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend sitting in Him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own. For the day of redemption through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin, let all bitterness, indignation, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, slander, abusive language be banished from you with all malice." Did you notice that here in the word, it's addressed to you? It's something that Paul said, that's something you need to take care of. Okay, you cannot just put all this responsibility on Jesus. Yes, Jesus will do something that you can, but there are things that we are responsible for. What are we opening our mouth to? What emotions or what feelings are we letting inside of us? Okay, and if you feel like you grieved Holy Spirit, you know, this is why we walk on this earth, and sometimes we say things we're not supposed to say. We act, we do things that grieve Holy Spirit. This is why you go to this place, you get on your knees and just like, "Beloved Holy Spirit, please forgive me. Wash me with your cleansing water. Just wash me with your water. Cleanse my heart." And your relationship will be restored only if you do it from the purity of your heart. Okay? Veil number three, unforgiveness. This is the huge one. Matthew 5:23 through 25, it says, So when you are offering your gift at the altar, and you remember that your brother has any grievance against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First, make peace with your brother, and then come back and present your gift. God will not even accept your prayer if you have an unresolved issue with somebody. If you are like, not if you just keep grievances against somebody, but if you know because of you, you grieved another person, and because of you, that person is going through hard times now. Or you caused somebody to ache or to, you know, to pain, or you've been dishonest to somebody, okay? So it says, leave your gift at the altar. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way traveling with him, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be put in prison. So this is what unforgiveness does. It puts you in prison, and it closes heaven over you, okay? You cannot be responsible for other person's feelings. A lot of times I've heard from people like, "I do not want to reconcile with a person. He was wrong to me. He've done things. He was dishonest to me, or maybe he betrayed me, or he was slandering me. Like, he needs to repent. Like, how am I going to forgive him if he does not repent?" And Bible doesn't say anything about, it doesn't care what other person thinks, if the other person repents or not. It talks about you. Did you resolve this issue inside of you? Even that the person was wrong and you was right, and you're keeping this offense, you're keeping this unforgiveness, you are opening case for the enemy to come and accuse you. You creating this case against you that enemy can use and put you in a spiritual prison. And you will be living under closed heaven. You will never have that fresh encounter with God or with Jesus. Okay? And plus, it will open door to other spiritual problems. Okay? I just want to give an example. I personally new people from some time ago, very anointed people, moving like in strong prophetic gifts, moving in wisdom, deep revelations, like people I personally, I looked at them. I was like, they were like my people I looked up to as my like older spiritual brothers and sisters. And then something happened one day. Well, I'm sure it didn't happen just in just one day, over time, because devil will always come and try to sow seeds in you and see which seed will grow. But one day, because of the bitterness, they started slandering innocent people, accusing them of things and accusing people who were in position, okay, in things that they have not done. And then just to make themselves looking right, they slandered even more, adding more and more lies about them. And then they left. And it's so sad. I met with those people a few years later after that happened. And I do believe Holy Spirit was trying to reach to them and speak to their heart. Because I remember these people at the time of their ministry, their names will be well known. People knew about their anointing. They were pretty like famous people around those who knew them personally. And they walked in authority. But then a few years passed because they did not resolve the issue. It's different people. They were so lost. Anointing was taken off from them. Gifting was taken off from them. This weight, the platform was taken off from them. And when I meet up with one of them and we have this heart-to-heart conversation and I ask her, do you remember the dreams we've been talking about? Do you remember how we're dreaming about things and things of God? Do you remember the dreams that actually prophetic dreams that we had where God is taking us and what he will be doing in our lives and other people's lives through us? Do you remember, like, do you know that we already as a church, we're already walking in some of the things that we saw, and I know there's more like things to come. And that person who I spoke to, she's like, what are you doing? What is your life like? And I saw so much pain in her eyes. And she's like, I'm nowhere. And plus they started experiencing so many problems in their families with their children. And then I'm telling this person, do you understand that you put yourself in a spiritual prison? Like for 6 years, it's 6 years past. And you are in your life, you are even in a lower position than you actually before you came to God. You were supposed to progress. You're supposed to step into your destiny and move of God, but you are in such pitiful condition. I do feel that our meeting with her, this encounter with her, it was led by Holy Spirit, because when God is trying to speak to you directly and you ignore Holy Spirit, he will send somebody from outside to confirm what he says to you and just to speak more. And that person still closed up. She, like, do you understand? You need to untie some knots in your life. Once, just like one word, just okay, not a phone call, but just text message. Please forgive me, I was wrong. Even that, it will resolve things like in your life. It will take you out of that spiritual prison. And that person never did that. And it's passed already over 12 years. And these people, they're still in very pitiful state. And it just had my heart ache so much, because these people, they had big future. It's like strong anointing. So don't ever, ever think your gifting or your anointing or whatever God is doing with your life, your platform, your position, it is not yours. It does not belong to you. God gave it to you and he take it from you anytime if he wants. Nothing belongs to us. We cannot do anything outside of him. Okay. And it's like so sad to see these destinies and to see this like purposes of God like crushed, destroyed, aborted by the enemy, just because of the seed of the bitterness, because of the pride, because of refusal to resolve and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. These people, they're still like in this spiritual prison and nobody knows of their names. Everybody forgot who they were. And the fourth veil that I want to address today, it's called idols of your heart. Okay, that's another veil that will hinder you from beholding Jesus, from getting pure revelation of who he is. Ezekiel 14:6 says, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn away your faces from all of your abominations." Okay, that's one thing that will not let you to progress. How do you identify idols in your life? Ask yourself a few questions. What do you spend most of your time on? Like your free time, when you have free time, what do you spend it on? What or who do you fear losing the most? What do you spend most of your money on? Free money that you have after paying your bills and, you know, necessities. What do you spend it on the most? What or who is the source of your happiness? Who is your happiness relying on? And what is the hardest thing to you or hardest person or thing to let go of? So ask yourself your questions, and maybe there's other ways. If there's something you feel there's holding you away from the presence of God, maybe there's an idol you just need to address, you need to repent, and you need to cut it off. So these four veils we are responsible for. That's something Jesus will not do for you. Okay, this is how you respond his call, and then he'll do the rest for you. Then he will take you deeper. Then he will deal with the pain and rejection and everything else. But you have to remove these veils. And before we end, I just want to finish with this word, the word of, I don't know how to call it, prophetic word or the word from the heart, but that's something I want to leave with you today. When you go home, just please take it with your heart. This is the scripture, Isaiah 40:31, and I just want to release this word into you, and I ask Holy Spirit to plant it into your heart, into your spirit, so it will give the fruit and it will take you to the new heavenly places. Kind of to summarize, to sum up everything that we've been talking today. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift the wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up for the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. And here I want to read, because when I was writing this word, it's just like, this is the prophetic word that was uploading. So I just want to release it as it is. But before that, the Hebrew word for wait in this scripture, when it says, but those who wait for the Lord, the Hebrew word that's used here means to tie or twist yourself around the world. I'm sorry, about the Lord. I'm telling you, my throat is dry. Just bring up the words that are not meant to come up. The Hebrew word for wait means to tie or twist or bind yourself around the Lord. So when it says, but those who wait on the Lord, it does not speak about passive waiting. Okay, even maybe your life is mellow right now. You don't feel much going on spiritually, but you're trying to go to this place and you're trying to read your Bible. You're trying to, you know, spend time with Jesus. You're trying to do your best. And maybe you don't see much happening in this moment. And this is where people give up. They say like, no, prayer doesn't work. I'm hungry for this presence, but I don't feel his presence, or I don't get revelation of him, or I feel like I'm just praying to myself. So sometimes this could be your waiting season, where you're waiting for the Lord to show up and take you to higher places. So do not turn around and wait for a better day. No, wait upon the Lord. Twist yourself, bind yourself around the world. Lord, and you will see the season will change. Okay, attach yourself to him daily. Whatever you do, make him part of your day. Attach to him, okay? You will receive supernatural strength to go through challenges daily. His presence will lift you up on the wings of the Spirit. You will feel sure about your hardships, and it will take you to, his presence will take you to the heavenly places. And you will see beyond the mountain of challenges. Sorry, I was writing this at night, so some words are Yes, you will receive supernatural strength to go through the challenges daily. His presence will lift you up on the wings of the Spirit. You will see differently about your hardships. You will take it to the heavenly places. You will see beyond the mountain of challenges. Heavenly Father wants to teach us how to operate from the above, to see beyond the realities that the rest of the world sees. This is where the weapon of the enemy is disabled and cannot reach you. This is what the eagles do. You know, when eagles, this is what the scientists say, the eagles' wings are so big, they're not meant for flying. Okay, this is why we struggle a lot of times, because we try to fly on our own when we just need to wait on the Lord. Eagle will sit for days, for hours. He will wait for the current of that wind. And once he feels that current of the wind, it's like his eyesight sharpens, his senses all kick in, and he feels that current, he catches the wind, and he flies to that wind, and then he just soars. Okay, he just soars on the winds. This is why we are compared to eagles that will soar. You will not struggle. You will not be crushed by your circumstances. You will soar above them on the wind of the Spirit. He will take you through. This is why it's so important to see the face of Jesus. This is where we go to the place of our victory. On this, I will say amen. Let's get up and we will pray. Let's pray. Oh, I'm believing Lord is doing something today. He is taking us individually and corporately, to the new heights, of His Spirit, where only eagles can fly, to the heavenly realms where you can see Him face to face, when you can see Jesus face to face. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for what your blood has done for us. It's only through the blood we can see you with open faces, where we're being transformed into your likeness. We're transformed into your character. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, open up the eyes of the hearts today. Open up the eyes of the hearts. Bring your church to the place where she can see you with open face, without any hindrances, without any veils. We look at you, Jesus. Address the veils of our hearts. Address all the hindrances that are covering our faces. For those who cannot get through, for those who cannot break through, I ask, Holy Spirit, for supernatural intervention. Address every idol. Address unforgiveness. Address where you were grieved, Holy Spirit. Oh, address unconfessed sin, any compromise that is withholding us today, Lord. Address and expose every tactic of the enemy. Every twisted truth exposed today, Holy Spirit. We're standing in the place of heaven, the realm, and we're gazing upon you. Do not ever pray about anything until you step into the place where you start gazing upon Him, where you're seeing His face. Do not plan anything. Do not speak anything. Do not preach anything until you get to the place where you see His face, where you can gaze upon Him without any veil, without any covering. Until you step into the place where you can see Him clearly. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're taking us to the new level of intimacy. You're calling us, and today you're giving invitation to go deeper. We feel the burning in our hearts. We feel this burning. We feel this call. And we're going, Lord, to the table. We're going to the table to have a fellowship with you, Jesus. You are the center of our prayer. You are the center of our life. Jesus, we're responding. We're opening the doors of our hearts to have fellowship with you, where we eat your broken body, where we eat your word, and where eyes of our hearts get open at the place of fellowship with you, Jesus. When we see you the way that others cannot see you, that we see you the way that we've never seen you before, and we're captured by you, we're captured by how you different, how deep, how magnificent, how beautiful you are. Every bite of you, every taste of you, we crave more with every taste of you, with every bite of you. Oh, we eat you today, Jesus. We eat you. We eat your word. We're becoming one with you. And we're becoming like eagles who are called to fly into highest places, where we're soaring on the winds of the Spirit. We do not struggle. We do not strive. We do not warfare with our own strength, but we're just soaring on the winds of the Spirit. And you do the warfare for us, Lord. All we do is just decree your word, declare your word. We speak from the throne room, and we see how circumstances, how things are starting changing around us, because we speak from the highest place. Lord, we say yes to you. We are seated in heavenly places. That seat will not be empty. That seat in heavenly realm will not be empty. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your blood that purchased it for us. Not by our own righteousness, that just like a filthy rag. My Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Purify our hearts. Purify our love for you. You know, one time I was praying, I was worshiping Jesus, and I was telling him how much I love him. I was like, Jesus, I love you from all my heart. I love you. My love is so pure for you. And then I saw in his spirit when I was presenting this gift of my love to him. And even though it was with the purest intentions that I could only imagine, and I saw it was stained. We cannot even love him with the pure love on our own. And I saw how he breathed on it, and he made that love pure. He cleansed my love for him. We cannot do anything on his own, on our own. We cannot even love him, because Bible says our righteousness is like a filthy rag. We cannot love him with our righteousness, because Jesus, you are our holiness. You are righteousness. You are our righteousness. And we are holy because you are holy. We are righteous because you are righteous. And we look at you and we see you from the place of your righteousness. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. He's doing something with our spirits. He's changing our understanding. He's changing our perspective of him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, it's so hard to finish, because when there's a presence, you just want to lay down. You just want to prostrate yourself and keep... But I want to bless you. I want you to enjoy this beautiful day so you can take this with you and have this face-to-face encounter at your works, at your colleges, at your schools, in the grocery stores, in your bedrooms, in your bathrooms, whatever you do, getting your hair curled or shaving in front of the mirror. Just have that heavenly encounter in all spontaneous places. Amen.